As soon as Fred gets out of bed, his underwear goes on his head. His mother laughs, "Don't put it there. The head's no place for underwear." But near his ears, above his brains, is where Fred's underwear remains. At night when Fred goes back to bed, he deftly plucks it off his head. His mother switches off the light and softly croons, "Good night, good night." And then, for reasons no one knows, Fred's underwear goes on his toes.
This is the Dan and Cody podcast.
This is it. Right here, Cody. You put on those headphones and you go to work.
Why are you yelling?
This is where our message is heard.
It's time to get hyped. Say it with me.
What are we saying?
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Dan and Cody.
Meet Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Get some.
Dan and Cody podcast.
Whoa.
Somebody brought the heat for being late to the game. I decided to bring out a poem that was dear to me as a young boy.
Oh, as a young island boy?
Titled As Soon as Fred Gets Out of Bed, and it's by the great Jack Prelutsky, who is known for writing children's poetry.
Oh, that wasn't a Cody original?
No, that was not.
Wow.
But it was read by me originally.
It totally had your flair. I thought that was some like Seuss fanfic.
I would say sexy that times. This man that wrote this poetry, I like grew up just loving this his work. And I would read his poems, and I'd have a big book of his poetry. And I know, like you say, poetry, like poetry, but it was
poetry. How do you say it?
poetry. But it was very much something that I can definitively say shaped me, because I thought he was hilarious.
Yes.
I thought he was creative and inventive, and he was able to play with words in a way that I found appealing. And you know, that happened to be a poem that I had memorized, because we had to recite a poem in class, and that's the one that stood out.
That's sweet. That's really sweet. I really appreciate you bringing that to the table here.
Oh, really? Please.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, what did you love as a kid, Dan? Huh?
Would you
come out of the womb loving boobs? Get out of here.
Loved boobs. I loved licking batteries. I loved peanut butter.
I loved batteries. I liked shoes while I was licking batteries.
Yeah.
What else? Does it always lead back to licking batteries?
I was more of a Shel Silverstein kid. I don't know.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I dug Shel, you know?
Shel was great. Nobody's going to argue the greatness that was Shel. Shel was a man that played in the adult world and the children's world.
Yeah. The question is, though, is Shel as good without the images? That I don't know.
Does it stand alone like Fred's underwear on his head? I don't know. I would say that the images are less appealing for children.
Yeah.
I actually feel that the imagery, even in the kids' poetry, is a bit intense. I'm not going to say graphic, because it was never graphic. Like, he was known to do artwork, I think, in like Playboy and stuff.
Oh.
He wrote in Playboy.
Awesome.
So I don't know if his artwork landed in those arenas, but, you know... Big stuff, man.
Big stuff, bro. Cody, I've got an announcement of sorts to make.
Mm-hmm.
I, Dan Hill, I'm a superhero. And I have a superpower, and it's being able to immediately tell if a human being sucks or not. I can, like, boom, the smallest of things, and I can really hone in on it and be like, this person is awful. Do not engage. We've talked about this before, but here's the example today. Went to Jersey Mike's, got a sandwich for lunch. I decided to eat in. I ordered my lunch. Fine. Everything was great. And I'm waiting for my sandwich to come out, and a man walks in. I sent you a picture of this man. He looked disheveled. He had very expensive zipper jeans on, the jeans with like many zippers. You know the kind I'm talking about?
Unfortunately, I do.
Yeah. Keys attached by
pants with zippers and no pockets, people.
Yeah, multiple zippers.
Multiple zippers, no pockets.
Yeah. He had the keys. His keys were on his belt loop, on a carabiner. What do you call those things? The little, like...
That's it.
You know, the rock climbing...
Yeah, carabiner.
Little
yeah.
hooks.
Well, yeah.
Which is okay. That's fine. But here's the first thing he did that made me go, uh-oh. He walked in. He has a brand new iPhone and the box. And he sets it on a table, and then he gets in line. And that was my first clue of like, yeah, this person is a nope, do not talk to him type of person. Hi. Hey, buddy. Maddox just ran in here.
Dad?
Hey, man. Come here. Say hi.
Hey, buddy.
Say hi. All right. See you later. Oh, God. We're falling off the edges here.
Bye. So, bye. Maddox. So this guy set his phone on a table and went and got in line, and that was a problem?
It wasn't a problem, but it was a key. It was a key factor that I said, nope, that small of a thing. Now, here are some other clues. He was maskless, which is fine. It's actually not fine in Southern California, but to me, I don't really give a shit. Maybe he's vaccinated, maybe he's not, but it was another clue. He went to the front of the, after he ordered his sandwich, he went to the register, and he had a problem there. Now, I'm listening, I had music going in my headphones, so I didn't hear what was going on, but... He needed to be explained to about some sort of issue with purchasing. There's a lack of understanding of how to buy things. Then.
Buying a sandwich?
I guess.
Okay. Anyway.
If you have problems at the register, another red flag.
Okay.
Then he got called for his sandwich.
Okay.
And he's fucking around on his phone, and she's like, the woman says, like, I don't know, order 25. He's looking at his phone, and he does one of these. He just raises his hand. She rolls his eyes. She rolls her eyes. Then she walks over, gives him the sandwich, and then he gets up. He gets a water. He asks for a water cup. Because he has the little tiny cup that isn't like a sold cup. You know what I mean? Puts a fountain soda in it. Not cool. Not cool. And then, to top it all off, he's finishing up. I take all my headphones out because now this is a show. And now I'm like, I got to talk about this guy on the podcast. He takes a call on this phone in public. On speaker. Here's my thing. You do some weird shit around me, I'm going to pick up on it, and I'm going to pass a hard judgment on you immediately. And I'm going to be right. That's my power. You walk around, you open like a pack of crackers, you crumple the wrapper weird, or like throw it up in the air and try to blow it away or something, I know you're an asshole. Immediately. I know these things. I pick up on it. It's a sensory thing. It's like a spidey sense about character. And this person, from the start, just cell phone box, slapping it on the table and then going to order. That's my cue. That was my cue. And then the rest was history. It just reconfirmed. You know what I mean?
No.
You don't?
I mean, do I know what you mean? And that, like, I guess I just don't have your superpower, Dan. I think that people have a pretty good understanding or ability to judge others without, like, you know, we communicate 80% of our language is nonverbal.
Yeah.
So how you approach things sends signals to everybody else around you. This guy obviously doesn't give two shits that you don't care for him. He right. probably doesn't give two shits that anybody cares for him or not. And that's fine. Like, that's how he wants to roll, or that's how he wants to do things. That's his prerogative, man.
But what I'm tooting my own horn on the instinct.
Yeah, I'm very aware of that. Yeah, I can hear that.
Like, dude, look what he showed me in 5 minutes after I already wrote him off. Theft, inability to acknowledge that he's being an imposition. Rude speakerphone call. And then not that bright. Trouble at the register.
Sure.
Those are four key things that you don't, like, we don't want to be around.
He also looked like he was in his 40s, maybe. Maybe later. Is that right? That seem right?
Yeah, fuck people in their 40s.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, like you're, I'm trying to give a sense of this person.
Yeah. And zipper, lots of zipper.
I mean zipper, Cody, jeans.
The zippers zipper were jeans, everywhere. They were everywhere.
Who, everywhere. What is
it
that?
It wasn't a utility thing. Jeez. He had zippers on the back pockets. And then you didn't even need the zipper to get into the pocket.
Yeah,
you couldn't
man.
Go through it.
Like this.
That's a cosmetic zipper.
It's all cosmetic, man. There's no pockets behind those zippers. It's just a zipper.
It's only a zipper.
Yeah, man.
It's yeah. gross.
It's disgusting.
You might what? As well have what? A sign on your back that says, kick me in the nuts.
No, a virgin or celibate because I choose to be.
Right.
Or celibate because I'm forced to be. Because I don't understand why a woman or a person won't have intercourse with me.
Yeah.
Or me with them. No, criminal.
Couldn't believe it, man. So seriously, I would love, I would love the challenge. You bring me five people at any given time. Let's go to a park. Let's go to a mall. Let's people watch. Let's do the thing. I will be able, within seconds of seeing them or being around them, to call it, and I will be right 100% of the time. Jenny would be like, hey, did you like so-and-so? And I'm like, no, I don't. It's crazy. And then she's like, what? Why didn't you like him? And I'm like, they put a napkin over their soda, and then they drank it. And then she's like, that's not a reason to hate somebody or think they're weird.
It's not. And then I mean, it is a reason to think they're weird.
Right. But then in like 6 months, we'll find out DUI, got arrested. Some weird shit would happen.
Sure.
And I'd be like, I told you. It's like the paper towel on the soda. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. It's going to be little, but I'm going to know it. It's going to happen.
Wow.
I would love to do this with you.
Yeah, we can do it. I think that's an attainable activity for the both of us. I think that's attainable. And cool. In regard, I mean, congratulations on your, newly found superpower. That
thank you.
Allows you to judge people immediately and with disregard to anything knowing other than what you visually see and not who they are as a person. For all you know, this guy donates all of his time to, something Santa Clarita. But no, you just immediately, I mean, to be honest, the minute you said zipper jeans, I was done.
Yeah.
Zipper jeans tells you so much about somebody, especially when you're out in Santa Clarita. Zipper jeans in downtown LA, okay, whatever. Zipper jeans in Santa Clarita, get out of here. What are you doing? What are you doing?
Get all the way out. And what? I'm not saying he's 100% bad. I'm just saying he's a piece of shit.
That's roughly 76% bad. So pieces of shit is 76% bad.
If he's 76% a piece of shit and donates $1,000 to St. Jude's every year, like, does that really make up for being a piece of shit? I don't think so.
Today, I was listening to a podcast, and the title of the podcast was something like the something millennial challenges, right? And it's essentially saying that the plight of the millennial, right? That's what kind of the title of this is. And it's like it's kind of a highbrow, like, segment. It's about 30 minutes long. And it was interesting in the conversation because they open it up where this guy's talking about how he's a black gay man in New York, and he's also very religious, and how, like, you know, they can't be accepted in their churches, and he has to deal with that on top of the fact that he does believe in God, like, very heavily, and he does want to go to church, and he does go to church, and he is involved in his church. And then he talks about how he was in an IHOP and how he was meeting a friend at an IHOP. They were just having pancakes and getting hot chocolate and, you know, just a IHOP experience, as you would always do. And a guy stands up and he huffs and puffs, and then he leaves, and they don't really think much of it. And the waitress comes over and says, "I'm sorry. I don't know if you heard that, man. I apologize. We don't condone that type of language or whatever." And they're like, what was his problem? We didn't hear him at all. She's like, "Well, honestly, it's your sexuality that bothered him." And it's like, okay. So he made the assumption he was gay because he was eating breakfast with a friend at IHOP or something. And the whole point of this thing that he's talking about is, hey, the challenge is like these social kind of breakaway, and he still has to deal with that, right? Like, he's still judged because he's a black gay man, and he identifies that way, which of course he does, because that's who he is, I guess. I mean, that's how he's choosing to identify. And so he feels that plight of being that. And interestingly enough, the conversation continues to progress, and then it gets into the internet. And I know that's kind of like a weird left field kind of thing, but what was interesting about this is the conversation goes into the millennial generation's, like, fight for climate change, which is one. And then the other is the essentially how millennials are the first generation to kind of grow up with the internet, right? Like, the millennial generation are not only the ones that are growing up with the internet, they're the test. This is what I, like, realized when I was listening to it. The millennial generation is the test pool for the power of the internet and social media. The millennial generation, they're the people that actually have to take the brunt of the terrible stuff of the internet, because they'll be the ones that will then create rules and laws to regulate that said environment, right? Because our parents, they got into it later, and even they still don't understand it. And as you can hear with, like, lawmakers.
What's a PDF?
Like, exactly. Or you hear lawmakers talk about, you know, they'll sit down with Mark Zuckerberg, and Mark Zuckerberg's answering these stupid questions that are very simple. Like, anybody knows this stuff, and you're not getting it.
So, Mark, when you're on the line and you make a post, can anyone see it?
Yes, exactly. It's that kind of shit
that you're like, who can see it?
Right.
Why can they see it, and my friends who are not my friends can't see it? And that they, what's great about those videos is that they always think they're in this like gotcha moment with him.
Yeah.
And Mark is always like, they can't see it because they're not your friend. but please, please try my sweet baby Ray's.
Right. Right. So, I guess what I'm trying to get at is the real plight, you know, aside from the climate change fight and the fact that, like, again, our generation were the first people to actually have to deal with the idea of climate change. Like, I remember being a kid and they talked about global warming and it was directed at children. Like, the idea of global warming was directed at children. Channel One News, like, Nickelodeon, it was all about like saving the planet, protecting animals, right? And then as we got older, like we've been fed that our whole lives. And then it's this idea that now it is our problem to take care of. And whether you agree with that or not, I don't know what it is. Whether you agree with that or not, that's fine. But the reality is the masses, the majority of millennials believe that climate change is real and that it will solve a problem for it. Or, I mean, or it will cause a problem.
I believe in climate change. I don't believe in how the man is like the scare tactics of climate change.
I think the ironic thing is, like, as I'm listening to this podcast too, and by the way, just for those of you that are interested, it's the New Yorker's like Radio Week podcast. You can hear it on NPR sometimes. Anyway, but what I find interesting is I'm like, this is a fucking, you know, fourth world thing or first world problem, right? Where it's that idea that, you know, we have the luxury to talk about this, but climate change, you know, we might see fires blow up in our areas because things are drier and the weather is more extreme. But the people that are actually affected and die from climate change, the flooding, are actually people in very poor countries that can't manage or handle it. And the ironic thing is, like, we're talking about the internet and we're talking about like having social image issues and we're talking about, and they're talking about this all on this podcast. And there's things I agree with, but I'm also at the same time thinking, like, I'm very privileged to be able to even have this conversation or hear these stories or even think outside of that box, because I got to be honest with you, you know, billions of people don't have running water. They can't get to a toilet.
Right.
They don't have that luxury. Something that simple. A billion people on the planet don't have that. A billion. So you sink that in and it's like none of it matters. And because you have some social image issues or because society has, you know, maybe even put your class of people in a different corner, like, I realize that's the world we in, and that's what we're trying to fight for. But there's also a big sect, a majority of people don't get to experience what you and me, people in Europe, people in China, people in Australia get to experience, you know?
Yeah.
It's gotten better, but it's just not there. Anyway, so that was one thought. And then and I'm getting to a question here, or I'm getting to a thought to kind of let you kind of expand on it. But it is that idea that we're the test subjects for all things internet. So with that being said, we're going to take the negative brunt of it, being that we're going to also experience all of these social media anxieties that we normally, you know, that in 80 years probably won't exist because we will have changed and put into law protections to help reduce or eliminate, you know, give people some control over their own identity.
Sure.
What do you think?
I mean, I think, yeah, we are the test subjects of the internet. We are hitting like, these never before seen problems with, like, you know, misinformation, election fraud claims, just like ridiculous things and like deep fakes and stuff like that. And the big fear that I really have about the whole thing is the ability to really muddy up the water of like real and truth, like with deep fakes and with sound bites and great editing and CG and all of this shit, like you will really be able to hear and see someone say something with your own eyes, and then hear them say and watch them say something that is completely opposite. And with that, you will have two alternate realities that make things even harder to digest, making everything a debate. So like something that is right will also be wrong. Everything is opinion. Like some things are not, you know, like 2 + 2 = 4, but you see some, I don't know, that's maybe a shitty example, but like you see some expert deep fake sound bite from his mouth say 2 + 2 = actually 5.5. And then it's like, what?
Right.
I saw that. 7 million people saw that.
Right.
If 7 million 3-year-olds watch 2 + 2 = 5 for a year straight on YouTube Kids, like, you know, that's how we got to often.
That's why showing your work is so important.
but I think that is the next hurdle. And you see it with the arguments between parties of viral diseases and all that sort of shit. Like,
I mean, it's interesting that you talk about, you know, misinformation, disinformation as the topic versus like dealing with the challenges of just what social media provides. But you're right. I mean, I think the speed and the quickness that social media is able to kind of like, the way the masses are able to kind of shift or change stories or what they want to buy into and what they want to click onto and how that can go like fire is just, you know.
And other things are great. Like deep fakes are going to give us like, you know, Billie Eilish in a full porn, you know, like your favorite celebrity porned up face composed on somebody else's body. Boom. You can watch anyone you want have sex on the internet. Anybody. I
mean, like, that's what this internet is primarily used for anyway. But that, with like that aside, like the truthful benefits of what the internet has done is it has made communication instantaneous. It's allowed people to find information quickly, effectively, efficiently. And it also has been, and it also has informed consumers and buyers, but there is that element of making sure you know what the information is you're going to. Actually, I think if anything, the internet has forced people to actually be much more cautious about what they've read, especially in the last 5 years. But for us, like, we're the people that are going to make the changes, because our grandparents or our parents, they're not going to at this point. They don't understand it.
Yeah.
And I think like what? You know, yeah, exactly. Like you're not grasping the whole concept. You understand that you can send a message to your friend, but you don't realize that you sending that message that has no weight or value to you, you think it's just, oh, people need this. You don't like the explosion and the mass and the way it's used and the way it can be weaponized and the way, you know, like, it's dangerous, man. It's very dangerous. Like, very oddly dangerous. It's funny because I'm not for outlawing that, but I do think that there has to be some kind of regulation to these Uber companies that control all of it, because there's a small group that control all of it anyway.
Yeah, but like, I don't know, it's just like a bigger library, you know. When you get down to it, like,
what's a bigger library?
The internet. It's like, if your access to information pre-internet was going to the library.
Yes.
And what your school provided you as far as textbooks. And like your local news and your local paper.
Right.
And in a sense, all of that is has been filtered for validity, content, message. So in a way, like it isn't new that like that in some aspects everything has been filtered out to some degree, you know. So when you talk about like the lawlessness of the internet, like yeah, it'll come because it's really a big library, you know. Just like, I mean, shit you share on Facebook now, there's warnings before you share it. There's little notices of like,
yeah, but that's hey, Facebook this being might be realized. Bullshit. Yeah, but they realize the pressures of big government coming down on them. I mean, they're experiencing it in Europe, and yeah. It's likely going to happen here in the States at some point.
But like your college library, your elementary school library, they probably got offers to stock a book that was a piece of shit. You know,
sure. I mean, like I imagine,
and they're like, no, we're not bringing that book in here. It's a bunch of lies.
I imagine you can go into the library and find Mein Kampf.
Yeah,
you know, I don't doubt Hitler's book is at the library, but
not in the German library.
The difference is like, you know, the information, the way you absorb it is so much different. There's a reason people like respond so quickly online, and why at the end of the day, they're like, oh, you know, cancel culture is a product of the internet.
Dude, speaking of cancel culture.
Yeah.
I don't want to change the subject.
No, but like, I like that. Well, I'll just leave it at that. Like cancel culture is a product of the internet. Without the internet, cancel culture doesn't exist. Because information right. cannot spread as quickly and allow people to make snap judgments as quickly. You know, we live in communities beforehand where news would spread over days, and now it can happen within minutes, where a group yeah. of a segment of a population can get it, and they can all make a snap judgment, and within a day, somebody's canceled. And that's like, you know, that's because of the internet. That's not because of anything else.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's horrible. So, you know, it's a product of the internet.
Guess what I noticed is canceled, and you won't find it anywhere.
What?
A classic holiday song called Baby It's Cold Outside.
Is it?
I even made a joke about it. I haven't heard it. Have you heard it this season?
No, I haven't. But to be honest, all I play is Vincent Giraldi's Peanut Christmas. That shit's fire. Yeah, it's so good.
Oh, you would.
So good.
You're just walking around your house.
Dude.
Boxer shorts, no shirt.
No shirt. No shoes.
Some slippers. Just.
So good.
Bro, all right. So I made a joke about this maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I was like, guess what? They're going to come for Baby It's Cold Outside. You know why? Because this man is pressuring this woman to stay in his house, lying to her, have another drink. Bitch, stay in my house. But baby, it's cold outside. Just a kiss. Just give me a kiss. And she's like, I don't fucking want to. And then she's like, all right, baby, it's cold outside.
Interesting.
And then she ends up getting date raped at the end. But the thing, like,
classic Christmas story.
Classic. You know? Key rape tool is blame the weather.
Oh, my God. Terrible. Terrible.
Oh,
terrible.
You can't leave, baby. It's cold.
It's cold, girl. Oh, you're not driving home after this work party.
Yeah. Yeah, no chance.
It's too cold outside. What are you talking about?
It's slippery
about?
Out
Southern
there.
California. You're right. It's 65 degrees. You better have a jacket.
Yeah, how many disgusting toxic men have sealed the deal because of the fear of black ice? Watch out.
Just an hour.
But I listen, like December 1st, man, my radio is on Christmas tunes.
Yeah.
Haven't heard Baby's Cold Outside at all. If you have, let me know. Nova calls it out. She's like, oh, you beat me to it.
Oh,
but we
man.
Were just talking about it.
It's cold gone, man. Outside.
They came for it and they took it. It's over.
I'm seeing if there's any news on it because you can't be the only. 8 hours ago, Baby's Cold Outside, Wax offers one. Canceled? Question mark. I am Googling it.
It's super rape culture, that movie. I mean, that song. It promotes it.
Yeah.
There's a Bieber song that promotes rape culture, too. God, oh, I used to do a really funny thing about it.
Really? You used to do a funny Bieber thing?
It was like a bit I was working on that it was fucking funny. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
But Baby It's Cold Outside is gone, folks.
It's done.
And I don't care. I don't give a shit. But I wonder if
you
play.
Care. You care. That's bullshit. That's a bullshit statement that you just made right there. You do care.
You think I care?
Yeah, you care when things aren't. You it bothers you so much when things are canceled, especially things.
Guess what? Guess what, Cody? I don't give a shit. All right? I don't care. I don't care.
Please.
Baby, It's Cold Outside. That's not even my top 5, top 10 Christmas songs.
Okay.
I can do without it. But I'm curious. I'm curious if they made a rendition of a role swap. If a woman sang the man's part and a man sang the woman's part, would that get airtime?
I really can't stay. Baby, it's cold outside. I gotta get home. Baby, it's cold outside.
Do you remember when I made us sing separate parts of it and I was going to splice them together?
No.
Oh, well, I never did it.
I do not remember that, my friend. No,
you
do not.
Don't? Dude, it was I got like maybe a quarter through the song, but it was so difficult because we were both singing on different tunes or different like beats.
Yeah.
And then I thought I could just find like a generic Baby It's Cold Outside like instrumental and it would all work, but no. We were so like off and timing it was a nightmare. But you sang the girl's part and you were doing it like real like
sultry
high-pitched girl. You're like, I really can't stay, baby, it's cold outside. And then I just couldn't get through it. I was like, I'm not bringing this to the world.
Well, Nova said two guys sang it on Glee, so I guess state rape's okay for men.
Yeah, if it's men, you know.
Men on men action.
Yeah.
I guess it's so cold, baby, it's cold outside. Anyway.
Oh, remember, and she was like, what's in this drink?
Looks like I put something illegal in it. You're going to get tossed and you won't know where you're going to wake up in that garbage can.
It's a pudding pop. It's cold out there. All right, let's swoosh it.
Oh, my God, Dan. That's out of control. Out of control, my man.
You remember how much you talk shit about Pete Davidson?
I don't remember ever talking shit about Pete Davidson. Pete Davidson is somebody I look up to. I believe he is America.
There is a bit of you were like, who cares about Pete Davidson?
Who cares about Pete Davidson? Yeah, I believe I said that because I really don't care about Pete Davidson. Yeah.
We like didn't get it. We didn't get it, but apparently BuzzFeed got it. They surveyed like a ton of people. And they are all explaining why they're attracted to Pete Davidson.
You're saying like I was referring, I think in that conversation, that wasn't I referring to like, who cares about Pete Davidson? Who cares about who he's dating?
Yeah, people were like obsessed with Pete Davidson at the time. I think it was due to the whole Beckinsale thing. And we were like,
Ariana Grande.
Was it Grande?
Yeah, it was during his Grande love phase. Yeah.
I mean, to quote Michael Rapaport, he calls him like stick man. He's like, he's a great stick man.
What's a stick man? How does he
like Leo DiCaprio? Leo DiCaprio is a kind of he's a good stick man.
I don't understand.
It's just like I think it's a reference to like you know your big dingus, you know.
Oh, okay.
And like your resume as far as like
the ladies,
your sexual conquests, per Michael Rapaport, not me.
I mean, I don't know if Pete Davidson has a big dingus. I mean, I heard Ariana Grande say he has a big dingus.
Yeah, but
like, what does that mean? Like, a girlfriend tells all of her girlfriends that a man's got a big dingus. Like, what does that matter?
She's like 4'5", so she's probably got a small vagina, and he's got a regular penis.
Well, she's probably got an Ariana Grande vagina, which sings during orgasm.
Did you ever see the Curb Your Enthusiasm where he's like, I don't have a small dick. You got a big vagina.
It's big vagina.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Big.
And like this was the girls were going like this. And he was like, yeah right. You got big vagina.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it was a great episode.
There's nothing wrong with our dicks. They have big vaginas. That's what they're doing. They got big vaginas.
That's really funny.
All right, here's why people like Pete Davidson.
Let's hear why people like Pete Davidson, because this matters to me.
Number one.
Yeah.
He seems very genuine, and he's confident in his vulnerability. And I get the feeling he's very focused and attentive with his partners. Ooh.
Why?
He seems genuine.
What is like? I guess he can come across. He does seem genuine in that he tells people about what's going on in his life. Genuineness to that.
And how can you be confident in your vulnerability?
What do you mean? How can he? He's, be?
All I read from this is like he's very wet in his dryness. You know, confident in vulnerability. How can you be confident in your vulnerability?
I think the line should be he's fearless with his vulnerability.
Like, I'm an open book.
Yeah,
which
basically, that's exactly what they're saying. He's not afraid to say, I'm weak here. I struggle here. I'm doing my best to get better.
Okay. Number two, he's like your weed dealer whom you feel safe around for some reason. And when he starts cracking jokes, you realize you'd hook up with him.
Is that how that works? Should have been a weed dealer.
Yeah, that just means like he's regular.
Okay.
All right. He has a cute smile and facial expressions. The way he holds himself is confident, but not cocky, like some other male celebrities. He's laid back, but not pathetic laid back. It's his energy more than his actual appearance.
Who's pathetically laid back? What does that mean? That guy's so laid back, it's pathetic.
Right. Gosh, what? He's so laid back. It's pathetic.
It's a pathetic laid back guy over there. It's just the way he's laid back that makes him so pathetic. I mean, like, he's just too casual. He's just too casual for stuff right now, so, yeah, I'm not interested.
Do you like Chris? I don't know. He chills too much. All right, number four. These are weak, man. He's very open and candid about his struggles with mental health. And people who are that genuine and honest, while also kind, are often considered to have attractive personalities.
Here's my problem with that statement. Homeless people that are nuts on the streets are very confident with how crazy they are.
So, and candid.
And candid. They are more than happy to, you know, come straight up to you and scream profanities at you. Is that attractive? He's very confident.
But we don't want
to
fuck them, do we?
Yeah, exactly. No. Exactly.
What I get from that is he's a fixer upper, and I get it. Some people are into like fixing their partner.
Sure.
Like they want to like they get like a project and they want to be like, I want to help you. I want to drive you to therapy.
I think it's a fixed thing, but I also think it's like there's an innate want in a partner to care. When you see people struggle, especially people that, like, I'll give Pete Davidson that. Like, I believe he's a genuine person. And, you know, he definitely, like, he's definitely open to what he does, and he's willing to talk about his struggles. And I think that takes a lot, especially in this world where people will jump down your throat and destroy you. When I say things like, you know, who cares about Pete Davidson? I mean that in the sense of like, what does he do that makes him a celebrity? You know?
Yeah.
Like, what does Pete Davidson do? He doesn't do impressions well.
He's jittery. Yeah, now, like, I would describe him as jittery.
I don't necessarily, like, I've watched his comedy and I don't think it's that good.
Yeah,
that's me. I know that's a matter of opinion, but he talks about his struggles in his comedy. So, you know, he relates to people. Anyway, who's next? Yeah. What do we got?
He has a good relationship with his mom.
So did Norman Bates.
Number six. He's not a supermodel or anything, but I don't find him bad looking. He has nice lips and a good smile. I like his tattoos. He reminds me of the funny misfit dudes I was into in high school.
Okay.
So he's regular. Here's some other ones. He's full of skinny boy BDE. What is that?
Big dick energy.
Big dick energy, I see. Yeah, that's what I think this all boils down to. This guy's packing. He's got to be packing. Like, he knows he doesn't have to prove he's a man. We already know.
That's what somebody wrote?
Yeah.
Okay. These must be kids that are writing these, like 20-year-olds.
He's self-aware and doesn't mind self-deprecating humor. He is also a softie.
You know who else is self-aware and doesn't mind self-deprecating humor and is also a softie? Larry David. Are women lining up to bang Larry David right now?
Yeah.
I mean, mind you, there's a 40-year age gap or a 50-year age gap, but anyway.
He seems like the kind of guy who isn't afraid to hold a woman's purse. And here's the best one. Here's the last one I'll do. He's basically a golden retriever of men.
I would be insulted if I was him. Pete, yeah, if you're listening, they're saying, buddy, that's offensive. You should call that girl. Destroy her.
Here's what I get. Here's what I get from all of this. He's regular. He's not that hot, so he's like attainable. Like, girls think they can get him. And he thinks he's like a piece of shit sometimes and isn't afraid to admit it. So he's not like conceited like a lot of celebrities. So he has all the perks of a celebrity because he's rich and famous, but he's got that down home, like, I don't think I'm that attractive. And I'm regular. I'm a regular person
He provides the impression that he's grounded and that he manages his fame and he's able to still be a regular guy. And that's attractive to women.
Last one. Okay. You're going to like this one.
I bet.
He's like a dirty string bean with the mouth of a truck driver and a fucked up sense of humor. Can't tell you why, but my ovaries are really into it. He's cracked the code.
I don't understand the statement of a mouth of a truck driver. Like, what about the look of his mouth is like a truck driver? Or is she mean that he just uses the F word?
Yeah.
Does it just mean that he curses?
Yeah, maybe she meant
he's got
like
the what
sailor
of a string bean? What did she say?
Mouth of a truck driver. He's like a dirty string bean.
A dirty string bean?
Yeah.
I wonder the type of guy she describes as a clean string bean.
Oh, you're like a clean string bean. If only if you were dirty, I'd want to fuck your brains out.
Okay. I mean, like, cool. Good for him, man. Yeah, I guess, like, I'll give it to Pete Davidson. You know, I don't see why anybody cares, but people do. Good for you, Pete Davidson. Keep crushing, man.
He's slaying it. The resume speaks for itself.
All right, Dan. That's what we got, bud. That's it.
That's it.
We added a hot. Unless you got something hot.
I've got there's an adult who's constantly mistaken for a 12-year-old, and like she hates it, and it's people like it really sucks. No, I also have the whole Ben Affleck thing.
The whole thing that he blames Jennifer Garner on his drinking.
He blames drinking.
Let's talk
on
about
her.
It right now.
You want to?
Yeah, let's
talk
about
it. Do you think it's fucked up he said that?
I think people are getting outraged for nothing. I mean, ultimately what he comes down to is like, I don't think he's blaming Jennifer Garner for everything. He's blaming the marriage. He keeps saying the marriage. It's the idea of the marriage. It's that he's locked in. Like, I don't know how he convinced himself to get married in the first place. But if he felt trapped from the beginning. I don't understand that. I mean, obviously, like, the reality is like, Ben Affleck, like, he's appealing on the big screen and he's got screen charisma. But the truth of the matter is like, he's not somebody that wants to be in a relationship long term. He wants the freedom to do what he wants when he wants, and he doesn't want somebody to tell him. Obviously, he's got control issues, so
Look, it was good. She's the mother of his 3 kids, you know? Don't tell me it wasn't good.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
I mean, not everybody's built to be a dad. Not everybody's built to want to care about kids or care about a wife. And I'm not saying that that's good. I'm just saying like his inability to recognize that before he did that, that's on him. And the truth is there's some people that are just bad parents. And I don't know if he's a bad parent, but there's some people that just don't want to be that. And it sounds like he doesn't want to be that. I mean, honestly, if anything, I salute him for being honest about how he feels. If anything, he's looking a lot like Pete Davidson to me right now.
Oh yeah, he's coming up a notch.
He's being vulnerable about the way he feels, and he's being honest with the challenges that he's faced, and he's letting the world know like this is why I was in the situation I was in, and I recognize that, and it took me a lot to get out of it, and I caused a lot of problems. Like the reality is if he knew he felt that way, he fought for his family. But the reality is by fighting for the family, he continued to drink. And here's realized like everybody would be better off if I wasn't in this. The kids are going to be in a better position because I can at least be conscious and aware of them. She can move on. Like in a strange way, you know, he made the choice that was better for everybody because he wasn't going to change. All of the bad shit that made Ben Affleck bad, he knows that. He's a drunk. He's a womanizer. He knows that. And he is unwilling or unable to change. In turn, I'm going to make sure that my family is able to move on. Because if I'm still in the picture, they won't be able to.
Yeah, but look at all the damage you do when your kids look back on this. You talking shit on their mom that you're already divorced from later. That's fucking Bush League. You know?
Sure.
You go on Howard Stern, yes, to like for a soundbite. But, you know, he was digging and he got what he wanted. But now that's out there. And now your kids are going to hear you be like, I was trapped and I was drinking a bottle. Here's what he said. I drank a bottle of scotch and fell asleep on the couch, which turned out not to be the solution. We had a marriage that didn't work. This happens. She's somebody I love and respect, but to whom I shouldn't be married any longer.
I mean, still I don't gross. See, like, I, the fact that it took him that long to realize that is the real problem. And then the truth of the matter is his kids already have an opinion of who he is. They've already made their decision at this point because they're what, 15, you know, 16, 12, and 10 or something like that?
16, 12, and 9.
I mean, he's already affected those kids.
They've already suffered through their father's gambling and drinking, the nanny shook us, and the back tattoo. Have you seen Ben Affleck's back?
What's that?
Have you seen Ben Affleck's tattoo?
Yeah, I mean, you know, don't get me wrong. The man obviously struggles with making regular life choices, but a lot of that can be because he's a celebrity and he lives in that world. I mean, the funny thing is the antithesis to Ben Affleck is Matt Damon.
Yeah.
Who married a waitress who he's been with for, I don't know, 12 years or something like that. They live in New York. Like, he's the antithesis of Ben Affleck. And it's funny how that kind of has worked for them in a strange way.
Yeah. Matt Damon's the man. Ben Affleck just seems like a fucking disheveled person.
He definitely seems like he's like he has his challenges for sure.
I just don't think as a celebrity, as anybody, like somebody asks you how your ex-wife what it was like, you just say, "Look, it didn't work out between us and I got nothing but good things to say about her. It just didn't work."
Right.
But I get it. You're on Howard Stern. He's going to pry.
Yeah.
You know. But I don't think it's necessary. What right. Jennifer Garner do to you?
No, man. I mean, I trust me. If there's any, like, I feel so bad for Jennifer Garner, and I feel so bad for those kids. I can only imagine the hell that he's put them through, because he's been unable to make the right choice.
Yeah.
But he's made the right choice at this point. He's gotten out of it. And I imagine he does not have that great of a relationship with his children, or he won't have one long term.
Yeah. But he's like, "Ooh, I got J-Lo now, boy."
Who is she with?
Ben.
No. Who is?
Yeah.
Who is his ex-wife with? Who's his ex-wife again?
Jennifer Garner?
Jennifer Garner. Yeah. Who's she dating?
I don't know. Let's find out real time.
I mean, John Miller.
Sounds like a regular ass dude.
He is a regular ass dude, and she's a regular ass girl. But it looks like, yeah, they're dating.
John Miller.
Yeah.
What's he do? Not drink a bottle of scotch a day? And why are you drinking scotch?
Dude. Guys, you know, guys old school. I don't know what to tell you.
Bottle of scotch?
I mean, you know.
That's not like, I don't know. What? Doesn't seem like the binge drink.
No. Not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the binge drink, but it's the drunkard's drink. Because it doesn't take a lot to get you totally blasted. And, but like, you know, it's what a drunk
drinks. But if you're crushing
drinks.
A bottle of scotch, you're trying. You're really, don't just accidentally crush a bottle of scotch.
No, it's a cry for help.
It's like, yeah, I got to do this.
Right.
I'm really going for it here.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, not only has he upset Jennifer Garner, but it looks like he's upset his bae. Jennifer Lopez. So.
Oh, she mad about it?
She mad about it. Yeah.
Really?
She's upset. Lopez is pissed at our source. This is according to Page6.com.
Why is she pissed?
She's getting pulled into this because she's dating him. She doesn't want to get dragged into this, nor should she.
Yeah, she's probably like, "See, Ben, this is the bullshit. This is why we broke up in the first place. I don't want to be dealing with this shit."
Right.
I just got out of it with A-Rod.
Right.
Can we just chill? And then he's like, "Shut up. Go make Geely."
Yeah. Yeah.
Go do Geely.
Go make another bad movie, Ben.
If you had your choice between Jennifer Garner and J-Lo, they were like, "Cody, we want to be with you, but you got to pick one of us. Who's it going to be?
Madeline Frederick.
Oh, safe. Very safe. Good job, Cody. Not good for the podcast, but good for your relationship.
I want my wife to know I'm always there. You're better than any Jennifer Garner or Jennifer Lopez.
Let's say you had Maddie's blessing. She was like, go for it. You pick it. Do it, Cody.
Can I trade them in for Dua Lipa?
Why are you so obsessed with her?
I love Dua Lipa.
You love her.
Oh, she's just.
This is so new. This is, what is this?
She's just a showstopper, that Dua Lipa.
I love, will you play that jam she does with play us out. Play that song she does with, what's his name?
Who?
Rocket Man.
Oh.
Elton.
Dua Lipa and Elton John. Love Again.
Oh, that is an amazing jam.
You like that new remix?
But I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
You want me to play
I'm
that
not
jam?
The man. No.
Let me see if I can find a good.
Here we go. It's so good.
Is this
but
it?
Before you play us out,
yeah.
Is this it for the year? Is this a wrap on 2021?
Yeah. Are we not doing a podcast next week? Are you leaving town?
No, we can do one. We can do one
it's
next
before
week.
Before Christmas. Like,
yeah.
22nd or whatever it is.
So next week will be a holiday special.
Holiday special Dan and Cody podcast. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, we want to go out on a hot note.
A little hot note.
Here we go. Let's get it going.
Awesome. Wait. Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
I want everyone to just be safe driving out there, hearing about accidents and stuff during the holidays crushes my heart, and I don't want it to happen to anybody. So be aware. There's a lot of stress, a lot of shopping, a lot of rushing, but be aware in your car. Stop looking at your phone.
Get it. You guys have a great week. Enjoy a little bit of this on the way out.
Oh,
love yourselves. Love you, Dua. Love you, Dua. Sounds a little funny, doesn't it?
A little bit.
I wonder why that is. Because Dad's gonna do this. When things go wrong, when the scent of her lingers and temptation strong.
And laughing with the Dan and Cody podcast. Our email is danandcodypodcast@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we are on Instagram at Dan Cody Podcast. Check out our website, danandcody.com, and you can contribute to the podcast by going to patreon.com/DanCodyPodcast. Subscribe, bitch!
Hard done.